is by a family that we dearly love. They are part of our global support team, but they're also our partners, and they have roots in this town. They have been committed, involved here over the years, but they serve the Lord presently with Avant Ministries in Paris, France. They're also member caregivers, which means they go around to some of the parts of Europe where the other missionaries are, and they go to come alongside them and support them. Sheldon and Lori Rempel are here with just two of their kids today, Callum and Danea. We're glad to have you here. They'll be heading out today to go to BC. Welcome as you share with us this morning.
Good morning. It's great to be back in my home church, and even though some of you I've probably never even met, I love coming back to Dalmany because it's great to see everyone that I do know already, and you are a really fabulous bunch of people who are loving and caring and still know my name, so that's awesome. And I just want to say when I have the chance how much I appreciate you. Sometimes you might wonder, or maybe you don't, I don't know, what it's like when you're working somewhere else far away. And I have to say that actually for me, missions doesn't get easier. Every day what I feel like I'm supposed to do sometimes feels harder. I have parents and that are getting older and sometimes not doing well. I have children that I leave here now, and I have friends that come from so many places that, and that all tugs at my heart. And so to know that I'm prayed for and cared for by a community like this is important, and it's life-giving for me. And I don't ever want you to think that any of us that come up here and talk about what we do for Jesus, we never ever do this by ourselves. This is not a project of Sheldon and Lori. This is God working through us and through you. And so it's your ministry. It's your God. It's life-giving to you. And as we share that life, you and us all together, God works through us in amazing ways, despite who I might be. God's so good, and so I just want to say that little word and tell you that I really appreciate you, and we all appreciate you. We had a little memory from this week because 25 years ago on July 27th, Sheldon and I tied the knot up here, right here. So it was kind of cool to come back to Dalmany and be here just this week. Also, if you want a little picture of us, there's one on the coffee table back in the foyer.
All right, well, let's pray together. God, our Father, thank you that we can be together here this morning, the people of God, worshiping your name, encouraging each other, living in community. Father, we bless your name, for you are good and great and mighty and oh so worthy of our praises, of our worship. And so as we look into your word together this morning, we pray that you would speak to us. We pray that your Holy Spirit would have freedom in our hearts and that you would be glorified above all else. In Jesus' name, amen. So the message this morning is entitled, What's Next on Your Bucket List? And if you're from the community church, you obviously don't really know us, but all of the people here from the Bible church know that Sheldon needs a lot of help. And especially when he gives a message, he needs help. So if you would like to volunteer when I ask for volunteers, please just be prepared for that, okay? I will need some helpers up here today. And the first thing I need for help is some people. I need three people who would be willing to be builders, okay? Doesn't matter whether you're men or women, you can come up. And if the kids here, if you'd like a better vantage point from where you're sitting and you'd like to come sit around up here, I'm fine with that. I'm going to need your help with some stuff later too. So, who decided they're going to be builders this morning? I need three of them, okay? You're not going to get out for lunch soon. We got one builder over there, my trusty friend Dave. Who else? Yes? You are?
Ken.
Good to meet you, Ken. And we need, how about another lady? A lady who will come and help us do some building. All right, okay. So here are your building materials. Three pool noodles, some tape, and a shower curtain, okay? So why don't you build this thing right over here? What I need you to do is come up with a barn, a granary, something, you know, to put something in. That's what you're supposed to come up with, okay? And so while they are working on building that over there, we're going to do some other things over here. How many kids do we have? We have 7 kids up here so far. Would you guys be willing to just stand up? Oh, we got a couple more. 9 is perfect. We're going to try to guess a 9-letter word. So if you guys come stand up here, my daughter Danea is going to give you each a piece of paper to hold. Just come stand up here and face all the people over here, okay? Great, yes. So we're going to try to guess a word. Some people call this game hangman. Hangman sounds a little violent to play in church, so we're just going to call this a guessing game, okay? You're going to get 9 wrong guesses, but you're going to try to guess the letters to the word that I have in mind, okay? So can everyone see this okay? You guys seeing okay? I'll go stand on this side maybe. So, all right, we got 9 pieces of paper up here. You guys are doing a great job so far. What is your first letter? What's your first guess? A. I heard A. Could you? That's a good guess. First letter of the word is A. There's actually another A. What other letter would you like to guess? Sorry? T. There is no T. That's one wrong guess. Next? L. No L. What was the next one? G. No G. We're up to 3 wrong guesses. R, no R. S, no S. Sorry? E, yes, there is an E. 4 guesses left that are mistaken, okay? Can you hold that one turned around so they can see it? All right, so we got a 9-letter word that starts with A, has another A in it, and ends in E. What's your next guess? I? There is no I. N. There is an N. There are 2 N. This is English. And it could be Plotich if your Plotich is verengelscht. Okay. So, any more guesses? C, there is a C. So we've got A over here, an N, and an ants to end with. So what's the next letter you're going to guess?
B.
B, there is a B. I think so. And there was none. A D, there is a D, and a U, and you need to read it all in one because it's not a bun dance, it's abundance. All right. Good job, kids. Let's give them a hand for helping. You can have a seat right here if you want to, okay? Now, Jesus used this word in a verse that I'd like to read to you. And it's from Luke chapter 12 and verse 15. Then he said to them, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. So what does abundance mean, really, if you think about it? What is it? Lots of, yes. Plenty. So what is he really saying? Life is really not about plentiful possessions. It's about something else. And this verse from the Message says this, speaking to the people, he went on, take care, protect yourself against the least bit of greed. Life is not defined by what you have, even when you have a lot. All right, so let's talk about greed for a minute. This, what is greed? If we think about it, what is greed? How's that? Wanting more than you need. That's a good definition. Any other thoughts come to your mind? What is greed?
Not being satisfied with what you've got.
Not being satisfied with what you've got. That's a good definition too. Any other definition that you can come up with for greed? Selfishness. In one word, that's a good way of saying it too.
Love of more.
Love of more, yes. Always a little bit more. Seems to me it was Rockefeller, one of the richest Americans, was asked by a reporter one time, how much more money are you going to want to amass for your estate? And he said, just a little bit more. All right. Now, the text also says all kinds of greed. So what kinds of greed can you think of? Is there more than one kind? What comes to mind when you say all kinds of greed?
A sports Cadillac.
A sports Cadillac. All right. Okay. Anything else?
Money.
Money? Greed for money. Okay. What else?
Attention.
Greed for attention. Okay. Greed for power, yes. Yes, having greedy for more than you really need. Yes. Any other kinds of greed that come to mind?
Not wanting to share time.
Okay, we can be greedy with our time. Yes. So there are some things to think about when we think about all kinds of greed. This morning, we want to look at the parable that goes along with that verse in Luke chapter 12. And we see here that we have got our barn. That's very ingenious. I haven't seen this model yet. We've done this message a few times now, but this is it's very unique.
Okay.
Don't blow on it. Well, I was actually hoping to test the capacity to see how many kids we could fit in it. What do you think? Could we fit some kids in there? Yeah? If you're really careful, I'll let you see if you can fit in there. Okay? Come on, you can come and try. And my kids are going to come up here and join me. We're going to read this parable from Luke chapter 12. How many kids do you think we could get in there? Ooh, that's not bad. 3, 4. Wow, that's a lot of kids in there. That was a pretty good barn. Now, what we're going to see in this parable is that we actually need a bigger barn. So I'm going to give you a few more building materials. I want to see if you can build a bigger barn, okay? You guys can come have a seat here again, okay? That's great that we fit so many. So I'll give you a few more pool noodles and one more shower curtain. I want to see if you can build a bigger barn, okay? All right. Now, we're going to see just how creative our builders are. So, is this turned
on?
Just
turn it on.
Just like this. Okay. All right. Here we go. So, if you want to follow this along in your Bible, it's Luke chapter 12, starting at verse. Yeah, Luke, we're starting at verse number 16, okay? Yeah, go ahead.
Then he told them a story. A rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. He said to himself,
what should I do? I don't have room for all my crops.
Then he said, I know. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Then I'll have enough room to store all my wheat and other goods. I'll sit back and say to myself, my friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him,
you fool, you will die this very night. Then who will get everything you worked for?
Okay. All right, how are we coming along here with our little construction project?
Need more time.
I know, but how's it? I see we've got, you're making bigger rafters. That's great. We need a couple more builders, I think, to help these guys. Just laborers, because I see they're pretty good at design. So, do you need a few more helpers to hold stuff or anything? I can help you a little bit. Okay. Oh boy, this is gonna be nifty, isn't it? How many kids? We're gonna need more than just kids to put in this one, because it's big.
My designs had a slide, but nobody wanted a slide. Yeah, this...
All right. Okay. Is this about where you want it? Okay. Okay. Here, you've got one more tape there. I'll help you a little bit. I can't really keep going here until we get this thing finished, so.
My union rules state.
Yeah, well, you know these guys who come in and... All right. How about we give it some bracing like this? I'll just stand here and then it should... And we'll put the roof on.
I need this one braced.
Now... Should we try putting kids in here again? I don't think this barn's going to be full. Okay, are we ready?
No.
We're going to give it a try. Whoa, have we got more than 9 kids this time? I think there's room for you in there too, Dave. All right. Okay, so, yes, all right, thank you very much. You guys can go have a seat now. So, our farmer really thought it was necessary to build a bigger barn because he wanted more and more. Really, what he was saying in the text is that when I get this big barn built, I'm going to have so much, I can just take it easy, I can retire, I don't need to do any more work, life is good. And then his life was taken to him, from him. So what is Jesus trying to portray by this parable? Well, he asks at the beginning, he said, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. And this story speaks specifically to the greed of possessions. We talked about, though, a lot of different kinds of greed. So here's a question for you. What would be an antidote to greed, if you think about it?
Generosity.
Generosity is probably the most obvious antidote to greed. So maybe, you know, as I prepared this message and I was writing out a check for something I was going to give to, suddenly, I just thought, you know, I need to write this check for a little more than I was planning to. I wasn't in my budget, really, but maybe it helps me think about generosity instead of keeping something for myself. Lori's going to share a little bit, too, about another idea of something that helps us with an antidote to greed.
I just want to remind you of another text from Matthew 6. Don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. But store up your treasures in heaven, because wherever your treasure is, the desires of your heart will be also. And as we think about this, in the Gospel of Matthew, in those chapters where we read about storing up our treasures in heaven, it's also the Sermon on the Mount, and God gives us so many instructions there about how to live out our kingdom values, how to actually embody what we believe and do what we say. And I think a lot of times as Christians, we're like, it's just too hard. We don't even think we should try. But that's why he's given us the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit helps transform us and helps give us ideas, like my husband just told you about, oh, maybe I should just write this out for a little bit more, or maybe I should share my time with someone, or maybe I should think about not being selfish in this area of my life. And so I just want you to repeat with me this verse from Matthew 6. So I'll just say a phrase, and then you can repeat it after me. Don't store up treasures here on earth, where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, because where your treasure is, the desires of your heart will be also. Thank you.
Also in this text, I believe there's a good verse that helps us with an antidote to greed. And in verse 21 it says, yes, after we read this part that you fool, you will die this very night, then who will get everything you worked for? There's this verse, verse 21. Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but not have a rich relationship with God. So perhaps the most significant and most important thing in keep guarding ourselves against greed is to have a rich relationship with God. That's something to think about and reflect upon for ourselves. Do I have a rich relationship with God? The riches of this world are not going to be nearly as important if I have a rich relationship with God. And what about the people around us? Do they have relationship with God? Have they started any kind of relationship with God? We want to give you a little glimpse of something that's been significant for us in this past year. About 6 months ago, we had the opportunity to start a small group that meets in our home together with another couple. And if I had time to tell you the whole story, all the details of how God brought this together, it's truly amazing. It was nothing that we did, but it was something that God did. And so on a biweekly basis, we've had roughly 15 to 20 people meeting in our home who are at very different stages of their relationship with God. Some are still pondering whether they want a relationship with God. So we want to give you this little glimpse. It helps you to see that people can be at different stages in their relationship with God. And we ourselves can understand a little bit about ourselves sometimes too. Where is my relationship with God when we see what is happening in the lives of someone else or the life of someone else? So I need some volunteers again. I need two women and three men who would be willing to come up here and just read a little clip of, and just to represent some of the people who've been in this, who've been our neighbors, who've been connected with us. In our ministry, one thing that's really significant is hospitality. And so as we got going with this Bible study, we needed something. Can you tell me what this is? It's a chair. Yes, what kind of chair? It's a folding chair. Do you know where it comes from? It comes from IKEA. How many of you are fans of IKEA? Yeah? We ourselves have a love-hate relationship with IKEA. We love to go there, but we hate trying to get everything home that we've bought. When we realized, do you know the name for this in any other languages? In Chez, yeah. What else? Stel. Stel, yo. Anything else? Okay, that must be Portuguese. Can you say it a little louder? Cadeira. Cadeira, something, okay. Any other words? I thought I heard. Yes? What language was that? All right. And did I hear some Japanese? Isu. Okay. All right. Well, the other way you can talk about a chair in French is c'est une place, or a place. Okay? So what we realized when we got this Bible study organized, was that we wouldn't have enough places for everyone to sit. And so my wife sent me to IKEA to buy chairs. She said, look for some chairs that are cheap but comfortable and that probably, you know, stacking would be good, all that kind of thing. So I found these chairs, and she said, yeah, that looks good. I think you should buy four of them. I bought six. Getting six chairs home on public transport has a little bit to do with that hate relationship part of things. So have you decided yet if you are able to volunteer? I need those three men and two women to come up right now to help read something here, okay? I've got one woman who's volunteering over here and a man over here. Yes, now I need two more men. Yes, one more. That is... Okay, so I want you to read these in chronological order, okay, if you would.
Go ahead. Hello, my name is Nancy. I am Jewish. My daughter became a Christian and was baptized a couple years ago. It changed her life. Since then, I have been amazed at how much love Christians have expressed towards me. I am asking God to show me if Jesus is the Messiah.
Hi, I'm Calvin. There is much I do not understand about Christianity, but I want to discover more. I like coming to these studies to talk about my questions. I think I'm starting to believe. Number
three. I am Sarah. One day, Lori came to my door and asked me a few questions about what I believe and what I value the most. I was eager to talk about it. I believe Jesus was an exceptional human being. We've had tea twice now to discuss my questions. I want to know more.
My name is James. I met the Ramples about a year ago because there was a lot of noise coming from their apartment, but that's another story. I was recently very sick and in the hospital when Sheldon came to visit me. He read from the Psalms and prayed for me. It did an immense amount of good. I have a lot of questions I want to discuss with him.
Hi, my name is Samuel. I first met the Remples about 4 years ago. I was a Christian then, but had many doubts. Then their colleagues have done Bible studies with me. I am growing in my faith, and I'm studying psychology right now. It is a big career change for me, but I have chosen this because I want to help others.
Okay, thank you. You can have a seat.
So if any of you would like to pray for these people, just see me at the end and I'll give you these sheets of paper.
So not all of these folks have been to our Bible study yet, but all of them have been in our home and sat at our table. We've been able to give hospitality to them. But as you noticed, they're all at different stages of their relationship towards God or relationship with God. And It has been an amazing and exciting thing to see people together who are people of faith, people who are young in their faith, and people who are discovering faith for the first time. Now, what does that have to do with our message this morning? Well, as I started out, I said that the topic or the title of this message is, what is next on your bucket list? Sometimes that can be also an indicator of where we are on this question of greed. Does my bucket list consist of things that are all about me? Or is it about others as well? Wouldn't it be amazing if the next thing on every one of our bucket lists would be to disciple someone else? To share what we've been given? If we become greedy with the gospel, that to me seems like the worst kind of greed we could ever be participants in. So as you think about it today, perhaps as you contemplate this story of the farmer who was amassing so much in his barns, you could ask yourself, what am I doing with the greatest thing that's ever been given to me? The gift of the gospel. Just this verse in conclusion. It's verse 31 of chapter 12. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and he will give you everything you need. May the Lord bless you today.